Remember the story in John chapter 9 when Jesus encountered a blind beggar? After a brief conversation with onlookers, Jesus spit in the dust, made mud paste with his saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, "Go wash at the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Well, this created quite a stir around the town and among the religious elite, and they began to question whether he was really healed and what authority Jesus had to heal. So when they asked how this all came about, the blind man simply said, "The man called Jesus and made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." That answer wasn't good enough, so they pressed him even further. The blind man didn't try to quote scripture or make a theological statement. He didn't pull out a giant post-it notepad and draw a diagram. He simply shared his story. "All I know is that I was blind, but now I see." Sharing the story of how Jesus changed our life with someone who is spiritually searching is powerful. Yet too many times we hold back. We get that fluttering feeling in the pit of our stomach. We don't want to offend anyone. We hesitate, and the next thing we know, the opportunity is passed. Sharing our story is not just for the super religious. In fact, D.T. Niles reminds us that sharing our story is nothing more than one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Recently, I had the privilege of sitting down with my good friends Mark and Carol, and I invited them to tell their stories. Well, Mark and Carol, it's so good to be with you. We're here on the Lake Placid Camp and Conference Center in Lake Placid, Florida, where you make your home. Yes. It's great to be with you today. I'm excited about you being able to share your story with our podcast audience because I know that God has worked in your life and has done some amazing things. I just want to start with a series of questions and give you the floor and share your story about your life before you met Jesus.
Well, looking back now, I can truly say how lost I was, how rebellious I was, how disobedient, how far off. My life before I met Jesus was a life of the world, trying to live the life of pleasure, trying to chase my own personal dreams. I grew up in a Christian household. I had great parents who did the best they can with trying to raise us up. I had 8 brothers and sisters, so it was a very large family. But I found myself kind of going off on my own and going to various different types of schools based on where we had lived and moved. And, you know, my parents at some point wanted to have us into a Christian education, back to public school, back to private. So at the time, they thought that was kind of the best idea, but I think in the looking back on it, I was just trying to adapt to new people with new friends, different circumstances, and I just found myself really not grounded really in anything other than myself. So it was very easy for me to get lost into peer pressure. And so with that, I found myself getting lost with alcohol, drugs, just chasing the things of the world. That just continued to grow in my life, and I was really rather unaware of it. There was really nothing, didn't really feel anything telling me this was wrong. Kind of that whole conscience was gone. That brought me to about the age of about 22. But about that point of time, I had no conscience whatsoever. Just whatever I did, I kind of did. And it wasn't until, really, I call it an encounter of God, a crying out to God to save me. Found myself in a situation, don't really have to go into detail, but I cried out to God and He saved me. And it wasn't shortly thereafter that I went to church, about 22 years old, and cried out to God and asked Jesus to come into my life. And there was a lot of emotions, a lot of tears were shed. But it's like my eyes were opened up. I was aware of what I was doing was not God's best for me. And that started learning process of salvation and living a life in relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit and what that looks like. And so here I am today, a work in progress. God's shaping and molding me. Looking back from where I am now to where I was is night and day. And I thank the Lord Jesus for that.
Well, you've told us your salvation story. And I know I came to know you just a couple years ago. And you're a newlywed couple, and we did marriage counseling together, and it was a fantastic experience. Well, what has the journey been like for you since that time that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ?
Wow, it's there's been so much in between there. There's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but I would definitely say the highlight has been finding Carol, my wife. It's been a true blessing. I love this woman so much, and
you better.
It's been truly amazing, and through the process of that, I just kind of realized with marriage, you know, it's just really how God is using it to, I guess, from a selfish point, refine me and purify me. And having this woman of God in my life is truly amazing. But on the other side of that, it shows me just kind of the, you know, things that still need working on and areas that need God's touch and healing. And it's really been amazing because not only is God able to reveal it to me, but my wife is able to reveal things to me. But she does it in a way that is loving, but also with boldness, I would say, and courage. So it's just right for me, and it's a way that makes me not, in a sense, continue to go on my ways, but it actually helps refine me. So that's where I'd say we are here at in a little over a year and a half of marriage. Not much time, but it's been the best of times, and we believe that the best is yet to come. I believe the best is yet to come. So we thank you, Chuck, and your wife, and for your continuous mentorship and discipleship, and also friendship, too.
Amen. Well, now, you married, I'm not going to say later in life, but you were both well into your adulthood. You both had careers in life, and you've spent the last year and a half trying to mesh those two lives together. And, you know, I got married when I was 19, and my wife wishes that I wouldn't tell people that, but we were both really young, and we didn't have a lot of patterns that we had developed. We didn't have our own stuck in our ways kind of thing. So I think in a sense for us getting married younger, it was easier to adapt and adopt to our lives together. And let me just ask you, what advice would you give to newlyweds who may be getting married in their 30s or maybe a little bit later in life? What has life been like for you trying to make your lives one together? What challenges have you faced? And what has it been like, or how have you found a way to walk through that process of becoming closer together and unified?
Well, definitely for me, is replacing or getting rid of unhealthy habits with healthy habits. And what I mean by that is, if you're young and newlywed, maybe you are getting involved with some habits that may be unhealthy. Now, whatever those are, it's kind of up to the person. For me personally, before I met Carol, I had a lot of unhealthy habits. Very self-destructive habits, too. Those unhealthy habits, if those were to have come into our marriage, we probably wouldn't be here today. So I would say, if, from my own personal experience, if you're young and maybe you're struggling with a substance, maybe alcohol or something that maybe your spouse-to-be doesn't know about, I would say bring that out into the light, because from personal experience, as I was previous married years ago, seems like, everything was kind of left in secret, in a sense, on my end, thinking that I would get it together and wanted to control it. And one thing that's really helped with Carol is before we even really got to know each other, I told her, hey, this is my past. This is what I've struggled with. So she kind of knew right off the bat where I've been and kind of where I am now today. And if anything tried to resurface or get in the way, it'd be very quick to, in a sense, put her finger on it. Basically, she's made it known, you know, that's not going to be a part of our relationship, and I hope the same.
She's going to call you out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So by God's grace, that hasn't happened. She kind of knows and is well aware of my past struggles, and that creates a level of trust and honesty. There have been a few times in our marriage where I have struggled with the thought of maybe wanting to revert back to old ways. But it's very nice and helpful to have someone to confide and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And then she can kind of walk me through that process. So
Amen. That's
definitely been huge, in a huge sense of freedom. It doesn't happen as often as it used to, thank the Lord. But when it does, I feel I have somebody I can confide in with. Not only do I have God, but I have my spouse. So I can be open, honest, transparent. And we can work through it together.
Great. Carol, I think the first time I met you is when we were interviewing you to become an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene. And since then, our paths have crossed and we've become friends along the way. And I'll never forget when you talked to me and said, I think I'm going to be getting married here soon. Will you do the wedding?
Yeah.
And so we've been through a lot together. Some people may want to hear your story because I know you as a woman who came as a strong believer in Christ, who had an incredible vibrance in the Lord. But sometimes I forget that you had a life before Christ. And would you like to share with our folks, what was life like before Jesus came into your life?
One word to describe it was chaos and confusion before Christ. It has its good moments, it had its bad moments, and it definitely had its worst moments. But one thing that I would highlight was a lot of confusion. And through that process, I was just trying to figure out life at such a young age. My parents, you know, had the great opportunity to move to the States. I was 3 years old. However, it was only for the tickets for them to come was only for two people, three people. And that still left my middle sister and I behind. So 3 years old, no parents, no older sister. I have two older sisters, but one of them had left as well. Not knowing exactly like what happened. We were a family unit and now we're not. So that kind of led to a confusion for a three-year-old. And then bounced around from home to home. I was with my paternal grandparents, then my maternal grandparents, and then this and that. And that just led to more confusion because it's like, so am I here for vacation? Am I here temporarily? Like, where are my parents? Like, are they coming back? And it was always like a story. Oh, they're working hard, which they were. They were working hard in the States. They're going to come back soon, which they were going to come back soon, but they just didn't know when. It was just a lot of different things. And every different family member that I stayed with had their own life and they had their own ways of seeing things, whether spiritually or just socially. They had, you know, one of them was a, you know, very devoted Catholic. Another one was Jehovah's Witness. Others were not of faith. Others had some Buddhism in there. Others is whatever came along. One of them, you know, was into the big Peruvian shaman, witch doctor. So I got to expose to a lot of things and I just was more confused. I was like, so everyone has their own way of doing things, even how they raised their family. Some of them had kids in the places that we stayed in. Others didn't. And I just see the different parenting skills. So to me, it was just like, okay, is there a God or is there not a God? And if there is a God, why would he take my parents away? Why would he break my family apart? And through that whole process, you know, there was so many other things that happened to me that I would not want it on anybody. And it just led to more the hardening of my heart. I know my parents would say that I was very vocal when I was a little kid. And there's some video, some cassette tapes on that. Actually, I could hear myself. I'm aging myself, right? Cassette tapes. But it came to a point where I was no longer that vocal little girl. I was just more mute, very docile, very meek, wasn't speaking much, wasn't the vibrant little girl anymore. And some things happened in that process. I was just dark, really dark in my mind and in my heart. And I try to figure out, like, there was one of my relatives who was a devoted Catholic, try to get us to do communion and go to catechism. And I will fight with the nuns because I would read the book and it wasn't what they were teaching us. I didn't know it was the Bible that I was reading, but I was reading the Bible and then I would read their book, their catechism book, and it was just lining up. So I was just like, I'm confused. You're teaching about God, but you're not teaching about God. And it was more confusion. And I remember my middle sister, she loved God. She loved the Word. And she was just like, just stick around, just try to do it, you know. And maybe it was to please our guardian at that time. And I just couldn't budge with that. I couldn't. And it just led me to more confusion because I was just like, is this what God is? And back then it was from the Catholic Church. They would come around communities and they would show you hell, how hell looked like. Can you imagine a five-year-old looking at hell? The gruesomeness of people.
That would be a convincing way of converting people. Yes.
Yes, definitely. There was a sense of fear of the Creator, but I just couldn't put it all together. And there's more details to that, but finally got reunited with my parents, and I was just like, I talked to God. Even though I didn't believe in God, I was just like, well, whoever you're up there or whoever is, you know, in charge here, I'm going to be a good daughter and I'm going to behave, because I was doing things that was not good. I had started, you know, smoking marijuana when I was younger, and yeah, just not doing things that was pleasing the Lord at all. So then I said, you know what? At 10 years old, I got reunited with my parents. I'm going to be a good daughter. I'm going to be a good sister. I'm going to behave. And it didn't happen. I was technically, in their eyes, I was a good daughter, but inside of me, I was dead. And so I said, you know what? I just need to get away from my environment. I need to get away from my family. I need to get away from my friends. I need to get away from where I'm living. And I just need to start from scratch, like on my own, figure things out, search for the Lord, search for who God is, and see if he's even real. So I decided to go to college far away from my parents, 11 hours drive in Pensacola. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go here. It looks peaceful, very nature-y type. I'm just going to do this. And it's like, in a way, I was running away from my problems, thinking that maybe if a fresh new start, it would all just disappear. That's what I was hoping for. And it didn't. But I remember I had a Bible, because there's sometimes people will say that, oh, why don't you read the Bible? I was like, I was just trying to figure out if this guy was real. But I didn't get the answers until my second semester in sophomore year. And I was already meeting people who were Christians. And there were different Christians. They weren't the Christians I was exposed to much younger. And they were just different. They had this joy and this peace, and they lived it. Like, I felt like they lived their faith, and it was different, and I just wanted to know more about that. And to one of my classmates, I just saw him just as I was going to my apartment. At that time, I had me and my boyfriend were going up to my apartment, and I saw my friend just distraught, like, and I'm like, he's always at peace though. Like, this is one of my Christian friends, which, and I was like, I told my boyfriend, just go upstairs. I need to talk to him, like, to see what's going on. And I asked him, like, what's going on? And he's like, well, you know, we're going to have this big exam and da, 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 da. And it's just not entering my head. It's not computing. It's not entering. And I was just like, well, what are you doing outside? Mm-hmm. I was like, I had to come out and talk to the Lord and speak to him, because he's the one that guided me to do biology. He's the one that gave me this brain. He's the one that led me to doing this. So I'm going to him and I'm seeking his help. And I got mad. I got so mad. I was like, God is not a genie. And I'm here defending God. I was like, God is not a genie. You cannot use God as a genie, you know? And he's like, no, Carol, God is not my genie, but he is my father. And because he is my father, I go to my father to help me. And that, those words right there broke my hardened heart. Right there in the middle of our patio, you know, apartment complex, I just started crying. I was weeping and crying, because all this time I was searching for my father. Because my whole life was confusing. My whole life was just chaos. And I needed structure. I needed direction. I've been looking for God, searching for God. And I didn't realize he was my father. How do I go to him? How can I run to him? How can I speak to him? How can I talk to him? And right there, he just told me, go to Jesus. I'm like, who is this Jesus guy? I've heard of him before. I just don't understand it. And then he laid out the gospel right there. And right there in the patio of our apartment complex, I gave my life to the Lord. And I was radically changed from then on. And I was like, I even told God in one of my conversations with him before being, you know, a devoted follower of his, like, once you change my mind, I'm going to go full force. And, you know, those covenants I make with him, you know, some of them I did not commit to them, but some of them I did. But this one I said, I'm going to commit to. And I did. And I was like, I went full force. I was like, okay, what's next, you know? And it's been a blessing after blessing after that.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful story. Hey, let me ask you, what has life been like since that moment? It sounds to me like you went into this Christian life full bore, without hesitation, and I'm sure that life must have changed for you from that moment on. Tell me what life has been like since you met Jesus.
Definitely. I think God really, I notice his mercy and his grace a lot through people. Even the way that I got free from my bondage of sin and darkness. Because the man that led me to the Lord, him and his girlfriend, now they're married. Well, they've been married now. But they led me to the Lord in such a beautiful way, where they would come to my apartment, disciple me, teach me the word of God. And that really set a really good foundation of being in love with the Word of God. I had God. I had the Father. I had the Lord. I was in such a high. I really was. And through that high, right, when you become a baby believer, I think maybe that's why God used many little obstacles along the way to kind of humble me. That the life of a follower is not peachy. Is going to have its hurdles. It's going to have its obstacles. And I just thank the Holy Spirit that he helped me see the opportunities in those obstacles, that to draw closer to him, to see it in a different lens. And it's been journey after journey, even after that. I thank God for those opportunities that I've seen. You know, my dad come to the Lord right before he passed away. My mom come to the Lord my sisters come to the Lord, my niece come to the Lord, and it's just like, wow, Lord, like that's amazing. It's so beautiful to see how you have been, you know, redeeming my family and seeing them, because that was my heart desire for my whole family to know him and to believe in him and to have a relationship with him. And he's making it happen.
Amen. What a story. And I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find these podcasts on RSS, Apple, Android, and even Pandora. Also, check us out on our website at www.footstepministry.org.